Tonight, we discuss the triple eviction. Will David or Kevin be able to take themselves off the block? Will Cody backdoor Christmas or Danny? Also, we finally discuss the eviction of a main Alliance member. But first, please welcome your hosts, Adam and Fatty. Hello, everyone. Hi, Fatty.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, you know, it's an audio podcast and they all go, hi, with their hand. Okay.
We're waiting to be introduced. That's the standard rule of podcasting.
No talking until you hear your name.
Oh, how dare. Well, you've all fucked it up.
Yeah, every one of you. I hear that you are your Prevagen is working, Fatty. So,
well, first of all, before we introduce anybody else, usually the one that goes last is Faye Driver, and I'd like to introduce him first because he had something he wanted to tell everybody who listens. Faye, you mentioned it before, but I think my headphones went out. So if you don't mind just elaborating, speak louder, please.
I'm sure you didn't hear me properly the first time when I said that I thought when you appear on the LFC that your
Little Fatty Cast? Okay.
The Little Fatty Cast.
At littlefatty.online or something like that. I don't know what it is.
Right.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. If you'd like to start
please.
Over, go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to convey that I thought that you appearing on the Little Fatty Cast, that your wit is unparalleled, that you're very funny, and I always enjoy the Little Fatty Cast, mostly because, ultimately because of the wit of the Big Fatty. So
I noticed your Prevagen isn't working, but anyway, you had a little Aunt Clara there.
Is that like Ginkgo biloba? Is that what Prevagen is?
Well, isn't that little monster that sells insurance, the Ginkgo biloba?
Gecko.
Oh. All right, Adam,
the wit doesn't convey here on this program, but on the LFC, it's pretty good.
How dare you? How dare you? In addition to the Faye Driver, we have Sam in the Hinterlands. Hi, Sam.
Hello, everybody.
Y'all, I'm doing this tonight because Adam seems to be preparing a quiz for us.
I'm not. We don't have a quiz, but go right ahead. I'll let you do it.
Moose P is with us tonight. How are things in Raleigh, Moose?
It is wonderful, but I do want to remind all the panelists that we must lock in our answers in a timely manner and don't change them once they're locked in.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving us the heads up on that. Moose, you put out some pictures of your Halloween decorations.
Just a few off, just around the steps. I also put some stuff on the windows that I didn't take pictures of. But, you know, just
are you done?
Things. We are not going to decorate anymore for Halloween because we're going to be in Asheville that weekend. So finally taking a trip.
Well, good. All right. Also with us tonight is Mike Lawson. Hi, Mike.
Hey, don't pull off my wig, Fatty.
Oh, right. Got it.
Nobody gets the quotes. I bring a quote almost every time, and you look at me like I'm dumb. Hey, do I have to blow you like Faye Driver did to get you to talk to me longer?
No, absolutely not. But if you would like to, that's okay.
I think you're really witty, Fatty. And Adam, I'm so glad that you're here, too.
Oh, thank you.
I thought he was going to say, I think you're really fatty witty. Okay, anyway. And speaking of Fatty Witty, Archer's with us tonight. Oh, I'm sorry. That was rude. I shouldn't have said that.
That was rude.
By the way, fly in on your helicopter tonight to be with us this evening?
I did. I caught a ride with our president to my house.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Were you gasping for air after going up the steps as well?
Absolutely, because I couldn't take off my mask next to him.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Sam, do you have any Halloween decorations up?
Oh, good heavens, no. We live in the Hinterlands. We haven't had trick-or-treaters in 20 years.
Well, I didn't know if Lizzie Borden might be in the area or something. I don't know.
Well, if Lizzie Borden or any other axe murderer is in the area, We don't need to have them drawn to our pretty Halloween lights, which there aren't any of anyway. So.
No. Oh, okay. Faye Driver, I've already introduced you, but is there anything you'd like to say about yourself rather than, or would you like to just continue gushing over me? Okay, great. Also with us tonight, who has been very quiet, is Adam. Hi, old Crooked Hat.
I'm not preparing a quiz, but I'm just tallying points. I was told by Mark I was chastised because I haven't been going over the competition like progress, like who's in the lead. And what I said to him was, well, it's kind of hard to do that because two out of the all of them won't be determined until the very final episode. So it's hard for me to really say, but you know, at the end, we're going to at least talk about who might be in the lead right now.
That's an excellent idea.
So I was kind of just filling in a spreadsheet and I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
I know you love a spreadsheet.
I do. I have so many.
Anyone have a personal story or Faye, really don't talk anymore about me, but I mean,
I had a campfire today in my little campsite spot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in your trailer you had a campfire.
Nope.
Okay. Are you up north yet?
Nope. 6 more days and I'll be heading to the Great White North.
Why's it got to be white?
Take off.
Because there's snow. I don't have a personal story, but I want to reiterate to everyone that you should go out immediately and buy a sous vide. And you should, when you make your steak, one of the best steaks you'll make at home, I promise you, buy a nice thick ribeye steak with like a lot of marbling, a lot of fat in there, salt and pepper it, a vacuum seal bag.
See, your Prevagen's not working either. Okay.
A vacuum seal bag or a Ziploc bag. If you have a vacuum sealer, vacuum seal it. Then put it in your sous vide at about 134 for 2 to 3 hours. Even more is better. 4 or 5 hours is fine as well. And then sear it. Really good. Sear it in a hot pan. Yeah.
You got all those directions, right?
It's really good. It's very difficult to make steak at home, I find, until this.
So. Oh, no. I walk outside and turn the grill on and throw the piece of meat on for about 2 minutes and bring it in.
Well,
that's raw.
Thank you.
I don't like it raw either. So
I've seen video. Never mind.
No, go ahead. You've seen video of what?
I don't like my steak raw. My steak.
Oh, his steak raw. He doesn't put fruit in the sous vide. Okay. No. Archer, did you have a personal story you wanted to tell?
I was just going to say that my husband went on a walk this morning and across the street. I think I've mentioned this on my podcast. Dr. Fauci lives right across the street from us.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He does. And my husband actually saw him getting into his big black SUV to go to work this morning.
Was he driving it or being driven?
He was being driven. There's actually, it's like a three caravan motorcade group that takes him to work every day. Yeah. That was cool that he actually got to see him.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I don't think you've ever told that on your show.
I thought I did mention that he lives right across the street.
You said that you've seen him. Right, you said you've seen him in Nora O'Donnell's husband's restaurant.
Yes, at Chef Jeff's. Yes.
But anyway, all right.
Yeah. Anyway,
all right. Well, all right. Anybody else? Oh, Sam, we've lost Sam's picture.
I'm here. The dog is barking, and I'm in a different room, which is very, very live. So I was trying to stay muted. And I'm on my phone, so I'm a little technologically challenged with Zoom on the iPhone.
Please stay live.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Do you want me to begin?
Yes. By all means. I'm
looking forward to it.
All right. So actually, Adam or Fatty, do we want to explain how the format of tonight's or this episode is going to be different, given that the schedule has changed?
I think we should, and tonight's even different from the new schedule.
Well, I just want to say, I in preparing the scores, I was like, you know what? I need to see who has won what. If you don't want to be spoiled, A, don't listen to the end of our podcast. B, don't go to the Wikipedia article, because they've already got this week's HOH, veto, block, winners. I mean, the only thing they don't have on there is the evicted person. So, but
yeah, evicted them.
That's the reason, I'm sure. But the format to go over the format. So, we are recording on a Monday evening. We release this on, normally I release this on Tuesdays because I'm not going to be editing at like midnight. Sorry, everyone. But so there is an episode that's airing on Monday evenings. We have not watched that episode, or at least all of us have not watched that episode.
The reason tonight is because there was a football game bumped it tonight, but it started about 9:45, 9:50 Eastern. So I'm recording it right now.
Oh, okay.
I'm recording it too.
So we're not going to discuss the Monday night episode going forward. When you get our show, it will be everything up to the Monday night, and then Monday night will be in the following weeks. So that's it. That's the format.
And one of the reasons we did that is because it was a 2-hour triple eviction.
Yeah.
On Thursday, so we still have 3 hours to talk about.
What? There's a triple eviction? What's that?
Really?
Guli Chen mentioned it like 900 times. Like the number of times she said triple eviction was ridiculous.
It was.
Okay, so let us begin back on Wednesday, September the 27th. September the 27th, episode number 24 of The Big Brother. This is the Otev. We get to see Otev, the totally rad rockin' gecko.
Did we notice
the
that even
psychedelic salamander?
Even Otev was socially distanced. I mean, I don't think there's really a. I don't really think there's a person inside of Otev. I mean, I think it's like a person on a mic, but Otev was like up in the balcony, like you know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was funny.
But he didn't look anything like he's looked in the past. He was certainly never been a salamander before.
Well, he's never had to socially distance.
Oh, that's true.
So
I think this game really encapsulates why I love this show, though. Like, it's the same structure. It's the same OTEV game they've always played, but they like change it up enough so that I'm like, okay, I could at least watch this. It's not like I'm watching a rerun of something I've seen before.
What wasn't last time the skunk and it would fart on them or whatever?
I don't remember that.
I don't remember exactly what there's been something swampy. I remember they had to like go under a log one year.
Yes.
So they would slide down and then they had to like go underwater once.
Right.
Like duck their heads underwater. It was a little different. This one was not wet at all, other than the junk on the
lube.
Slide, right? Yeah, the lube on the slide.
All right. Well, let's before we get to the OTEV comp, let's talk about the situation. We have Cody is the HOH. He has nominated Kevin and David. His target vocally seems to be Kevin. And then he has a backup target being Christmas. We see Danny and Nicole talking. They both want to have the prizes. They're happy that Xmas could be going up. However, Nicole feels that she can no longer trust Danny. She no longer wants to be Danny's puppet. So she may be on the face of it working with Danny. But for her own game, she's protecting herself from Danny.
Nicole just seems to kind of go along, ride along with someone for a week or two and then flip it up and ride along with someone else for a week or two. You know, she doesn't seem to stay loyal for very long, in my opinion. But
no, I agree. And she had to keep like checking with Danny to make sure everything was okay.
Yeah. I mean, even Ian, you know, we just heard for 2 or 3 weeks that they were really close and then she votes him out and she says, oh, I had to, but did she have to? I mean, you know, so I don't know. She definitely is not the most loyal one in there, I think.
Sam, do you have comments?
About this part? Not particularly yet. Danny was really pushing Christmas when she was talking with Nick, that's for sure.
Right. Okay, so Christmas and Memphis, who I think I might call Trump from now on,
Christmas and Memphis are talking, and they both feel it's good to keep the nominations the same. Christmas gets a sense that she will be the replacement nomination, which she is correct. Kevin and David are speaking, and Kevin says in the Cody conversation with him, referring back to the pre-nomination, I think, that he got mad, and that but we do know Cody has stated he is coming for Kevin. So this is all, it's very clear that Cody's target is Kevin. Enzo and his coffee cup are.
I do have one question. Sorry, Faye. Do we think that Kevin was always Cody's target, or do we think he made his decision when Kevin pissed him off?
When Kevin pissed him off, I think so.
But correct me if I'm wrong, the conversation that happened when Kevin pissed him off, basically the trigger was Kevin found out that Cody was like, I don't have any other choice, it's you. So I feel like the reason Kevin pissed him off was his reaction to being told he was getting put on the block.
Well, no, but I mean, he didn't say you're my target. He just said, I don't have anybody else to put up other than you and David. So he didn't say, hey, and you're my target. So what I was wondering is, like, did Cody already have a target, and or did that kind of exacerbate the situation?
I see.
I don't think he didn't even need to say it, because it was just obvious that Kevin was going to be the nomination.
But at the same time, they sort of, I mean, any excuse to make somebody a nomination is a great excuse, right? So the fact that Kevin went in and was barking off at, pardon the pun, barking at Cody, it's like, aha, now I have a reason to nominate you because you were a dick to me, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he probably was his target because, I mean, well, both of them, to be honest, both of them are not really good game players. Kevin's just kind of ridden along, you know, kind of not really doing anything. I mean, what has he won? Like one competition maybe, but, and I think David's also maybe won like one.
He got in third place, by the way. Like, I mean, okay. Yeah. He's done okay. Third place.
Well, his season. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, this season
instead of active.
Yeah, I mean this season specifically. Yeah, I mean all of them.
Each time he's been nominated, he reacts. He doesn't necessarily is proactive about, you know, playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Other than David, all of them have done well in previous seasons, I think. But I don't think this season he's done that well. And if you look at, I mean, I thought all along, you know, they're going to want Kevin first because David is someone that they could possibly pull along to the end if need be, because he's weak and they know that, you know, whoever goes with David is probably going to be voted as the winner, you know. So I don't know. Anyway,
all right, so Enzo is speaking to David. He's basically saying that David needs to go to war. He's really kind of pumping up David.
Yo, go to war, man. Yo,
right.
Well, also, if you think about it, Enzo really wanted to flip this and maybe take David, or, well, I'm thinking probably David, off the block, because he wanted to shake things up in the house. I think he's right. I mean, he really should have targeted somebody in the alliance this week.
He's absolutely right, but he wants there to be a shakeup in the house. He just doesn't want to do it.
True.
Yeah.
So
Enzo's game is starting to become more apparent to me, and he's growing on me. I know that jokes will be made from that, but he's growing on me because he kind of just is like, he creates this like plausible deniability everywhere. Like, he starts these conversations, but like all of them he could back out of without ever getting, he could always just say like, you know, I was just kind of chit chatting. It's never more than, he could always just say it's that.
Well, yeah, I mean,
are you calling that his plan? Like
I mean, whether it's intentional or not, he's doing a lot of it. So
I don't even think he knows he's doing it, though.
It's, yeah.
I blame the New Jersey educational system for both Enzo and Cody.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, my God. We've got to talk about that.
Burn. It's hard to know with Enzo because he comes across as so dopey that, you know, dum-da-dum, you know, kind of like that, that it's like, I don't know, are you consciously making these decisions? But he has, I mean, he does have several conversations where he'll be like, oh, no, like he talked to David and Kevin and he was like, oh, I really think, you know, one of you needs to come off the block. He's like, if I win, I'm going to take you off the block. Then he's, you know, Cody's going to have to put someone up because I think one of these big players needs to go home. We need to have somebody make an actual move in the game. And, you know, so he does have conversations like that. But you're right, Fatty. He doesn't ever want to do it himself. He always wants it to be. I would have been interested had he won, though. Would he have had the would he have taken one of them off? Because
I don't
said he
think
would.
So.
All right, we come back from commercial, and Kevin and David are talking, and Kevin asks the question, what would you classify me as? Meaning, what do you think my race is, he asks of David. And this is where we discover, or we're confirmed, that Kevin's father is black and his mother is Japanese, and they talk a little bit about being mixed race, and Kevin also mentions it, or maybe he doesn't mention it, but we see that Kevin or Davon said there's only two people in the house like me, meaning two black people, totally disregarding the fact that Kevin is a person of color. So
I'd like to point out that even in his speech, in one of his speeches, I don't remember which one, he's sitting right there next to Kevin and basically says, I'm the last African-American left. And, you know, you guys should keep me because we need an African-American to get further. And myself, not being either biracial or African-American, I'm not really sure what to think of that. But it is certainly evident that he doesn't consider Kevin to be African-American. I don't know how it's like to be biracial like that. I mean, I don't like, you know, I'm not really sure, but it seems like it's a hard position to be in. Like maybe you're not fully accepted by either race. So
why do you think he didn't acknowledge that David was African-American? I mean, that doesn't sound like, why would he say that?
That Kevin was African-American, you mean?
Kevin.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert in that, but it was very interesting to me. For sure. So, Sam, did you have a?
I did, and it seemed to me that we were making a distinction between black/African-American and the very the much larger and more diverse group brown, of some kind, or not white but not black, traditionally black either.
People of color.
Because David basically said, I would say you are Kevin, that's who you are, which is fine. But we never had David identifying Kevin as a member of his own community specifically or explicitly, which was interesting. Now, I am not qualified to comment on this in any way, shape, or form. I'm just making the observation that this is what it looked like to me.
Yeah, okay. me either. But I don't actually. None of us on this call. However, I am interested. I mean, I am interested to know. Like, is that a thing? Like in the African American community, is that typical?
I think it's definitely a thing between 100% African American versus a mixed race person. Yes.
So
I think that's a thing.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard of other. I know of other half black people in that I know personally who are seen as less than by their black full black counterparts in the full black community.
And isn't that because generally their skin color is lighter?
Yeah, or they have a trait of some sort that's not explicitly black, right? Or traditionally black. Like blue eyes, or let's not get into it.
Okay, yeah, because we're all white on this.
It's kind of like, well, we could make a comparison to bisexual versus gay. you know.
Bye now, gay later.
So
no, come on now. We just
sorry.
We just learned from the
you're right. Yes, from two the gayish boys. Yeah,
gayish. Thank you. Okay, let's move on. Christmas and Nicole are speaking. They're talking about that a war is about to start. They're just like kissy facing up with each other, the two of them, Christmas and Nicole. Let's reconnect. I'll come to your defense. I just felt like Nicole was completely like hook, line, and sinker into Christmas.
Well, so. Of course. And when Nicole's with Danny, and Danny's like, oh, we've got to get Nicole out. We've got to get Nicole, or we've got to get Christmas out. We've got to get Christmas out. Nicole's like, yeah, yeah. I mean, she's going along with, I mean, but it's good gameplay. But I mean, she definitely is like, you know, feeding both of
you
them.
You can't
what they
believe
hear.
Anything that comes out of Nicole's
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, basically.
But that's notice? How I'd play the game.
No, I don't think it's bad gameplay. I mean, I think she does have good gameplay. She just can't win competitions. And
did I'm sorry. Did you notice Christmas's expression when Nicole said, you know, I am defending you to certain members of the house, and then threw Danny under the bus?
In a weird way, I think she had to. From the way that I was feeling it, I felt like Nicole almost was like, I'm going to get the support of this woman. And she sort of like didn't think through everything she was about to say, which was, people are talking about putting you up and I've got your back, which I've got your back was the point she was trying to make, without realizing she had to reveal that people are talking about putting you up. And so she kind of had to give her something, right? Like,
it was like she didn't have a choice.
Well, Christmas has that Christmas temper of hers, so I mean, she reacted negatively to that. So
done with her.
Okay, so Nicole is essentially putting Danny on Christmas's radar. And Nicole had her own giant blue coffee cup during some of this, during this conversation as well.
Hold on a minute. I've been looking at these coffee cups, and these are normal 12-ounce coffee cups. I do these every morning, and that's just to get me to Starbucks where I can get a venti. Come on.
Enzo was like eating soup out of one of them.
It was. Like, I saw that. Yeah.
Faye, everything's bigger in America, so it's it's normal to us.
We're all size queens here.
We like big portions.
That's an American small.
Okay.
Ask Enzo about size. He'll tell you everything.
All right. What'd you say, Mike?
Just ask Enzo about size. He'll explain it.
You guys keep going. I'm going to go get something, but keep going.
Oh, it's
going to
be a
coffee
cup.
Oh, he's going to get a coffee cup.
Blue, gigantic blue coffee cup.
He's going to get his coffee cup. Okay.
There you go. Okay. In the meantime, Danny's cracking her knuckles like some sort of, like she's about to. Did we see this, folks? Mm-hmm. Here's her snick snack with her knuckles. Oh,
that's her nervous tick.
Yeah. Okay. We go to commercial break. We come back. There's a little bit here about Cody. And what do you call someone who comes from Florida? A Floridian. Christmas says she's a I don't know what it was, Corinthian or something.
Carolinian.
Okay.
Carolina.
Right. And South Carolina.
And the Texan is an animal, says Cody. Which he may not be too far off on that, but.
And he's never heard this. He'd never heard of a Californian.
Right.
That makes no sense whatsoever. He's like 32. How old is he?
I'm predicting that on finale night, that's going to be a clip that gets shown
a lot.
Well, also later on in the diary room, he went in and said, you know, I started out with them saying my IQ was 11. I bet I'm up to a 22 now.
Yeah, probably. All right, Adam, you've come back with your that's not really blue. That's kind of
It's not blue, but it's roughly the same size.
We're not interested in the size. We wanted to see the blue.
Adam, I have a white.
I have a white one as well.
That's the one I have. I have that mug exactly.
Does it say Ellen on it?
It says Godiva. It was a gift at some point.
Oh, gift with purchase.
It was like a Godiva chocolate set. Anyway. So see, it's typical. I bet all of us in America could run downstairs like I did and grab a coffee cup. Exactly. Well, Mike just purged, so probably not. Not what he ate. I mean, his life.
Mike just purged what he ate.
Both. No, not what he ate. I mean,
what do you mean you purged your life?
When I moved, I got rid of. I got rid of like 70% of my belongings.
Yeah.
So okay.
That's what he probably. But wasn't it empowering? What didn't it feel wonderful?
Yeah, I let it all go, let go, and let God. You know, just like go.
You had all those things that didn't tingle your.
That give you joy.
Yeah.
Spark joy.
All right.
He, however, did not throw out his Enzo bobblehead.
Oh, I'm sure he did not.
And I don't mean the skull part that bothers.
Dickhead.
Going back to Cody being stupid, though, is it possible that have you ever like written a word? Like one time I wrote the word little, littlE, and I was like, that's not spelled right. I've spelled that word before. Like it just is wrong. Like, could he have just had like a brain fart of a moment? Or do you think that he's just really stupid.
Yeah.
If that was a brain fart. If that was a brain fart, he needs to see a gastroenterologist.
I can't remember the voicemail line from my podcast that I've had for the past 3 years sometimes. So, I mean, you know, things happen.
Well, yeah. That's all right. Mine's still brand new.
All right. We get to the veto picks. Cody picks Nicole. Kevin picks Tyler. David gets the house guest choice and he picks Enzo because he had that little conversation earlier in the episode about whatever, going to war or something like that. Christmas appears to be getting bitchy because she's pissed off about not being picked for the veto.
Getting?
She says, call me if I'm the replacement Nom, and storms off or something.
See, I feel like that's stupid.
It is.
I mean, yeah, because I mean, why? Why are you going to blow up? Like, first of all, it's just a veto competition. Like, she's not on the block. Like, there's no reason to get mad at that. And
it's chance. Like,
yeah,
nobody decided to not have you play. Like, we picked chips out of this stupid bag and your name wasn't one of them. Why are you mad at
because she just is. Feelings just are. They're like the sea. She got she clearly is someone who has been fighting her temper a big chunk of her life, and I sympathize with that 100%. I'm exactly the same way.
But she was trying to make it about herself and it had nothing to do with her.
Well, it's interesting.
Well, of course, that's how Crazy Angry does.
It's interesting because the first season that Christmas was on, I don't remember her being this angry.
She wasn't like, because the majority of the season
she was hurt.
She had her knee up in ankle up on
she
a.
She was a little less thing. Of a competitor, yeah.
And I think the takeaway from all of this is, if any of us get house guest choice, we need to choose Sam as our
right.
Definitely.
She'll storm off.
You're supposed to smile at that. You're supposed to smile at that, Sam. Okay. Oh boy, that's a Christmas look.
Okay, there's a group hug between Cody, Tyler, and Memphis. In the meantime, Christmas is crying in the diary room. And people are actually talking about how mad Christmas is. Cody, Enzo, and Memphis are talking. And talking about they might have to take Kevin out and move on. Enzo pretends to go along with it, but he truly would like to have a back door. Somebody backdoored. Did anybody know who? Does he have somebody in mind in particular?
No. He specifically did not name any names, which I thought was kind of clever.
Okay, well, we go to the veto competition. It is Otev, the psychedelic salamander with a headband. There is a party, apparently. It is crib. There's a bunch of tie-dyed t-shirts laying around the house, and the shirts have two house guest names on them, which are the names of a band of two house guests. There's $10,000 available, but if you take the $10,000, you will remove yourself from the competition. So there's five questions, and each time the six competitors have to find the answer to a various question, which contains the names of two people. So the first question, does anybody have any comments about this whole setup before we get to the meat?
Well,
of
you
the
need
game?
To mention the slippery ramp, because the slippery ramp becomes a big plot point, and that's part of OTEV categorically, though, isn't it? I mean, okay. So it only needs said for people like me that have only seen a couple other episodes.
It must have been seasons. More slippery than normal, though, because they really made a big deal out of it being slippery. I don't know.
Somebody mentioned, I forget who it was, that the angle was a little steeper than normal, or steeper than whoever mentioned it in their season. So maybe that was part of the difference too, is it's harder to get
out. Would just like to comment on how many beach balls were in that backyard. There had to have been thousands, and they just kept adding more and more and more.
Do you think, I hope this isn't getting into the weeds or the beach balls or whatever, but were they dropping new shirts too? Or do you think they were just dropping things that were getting in the way? Did anybody have any observations on that?
I didn't see shirts falling, but I think they placed new shirts between each round.
Oh, I suspect you're exactly right. I didn't see any shirts fall either, and I looked specifically for them. But like you, I think that they did place new ones. Because it would have been not as challenging otherwise, even with the extra beach balls. If you remembered where one was, you know, unless they want a concentration version of it.
That's how this has gone in previous years.
Yeah.
That it was.
Yeah.
Because people would hide, they would say, that one may be coming up. I'm going to hide it over here in my little stash.
There were seasons where people would kind of like create piles and like hide them in mud. And then they would know, I've already found that one. Let me go find it specifically. Mm-hmm. So if you think that, I mean, it makes sense if they reset in between each round. Why can't they kind of clean up the shirt, maybe add some more shirts and... That does make sense.
So I did, and this may mean absolutely nothing. I may be reading way too much into stuff, but I did notice that some of the t-shirts, when they would pull them out, would be wrapped with a rubber band, like really tight, like a little package. So I was wondering, like, why would they do that? Because they've printed these t-shirts. I'm sure they didn't come like that. So that kind of leads me to believe maybe they were dropping them because maybe they had them very tightly wrapped. So, you know, they could, I don't know.
I didn't notice any falling, but it could have been.
Who knows?
All right. So the first question is, bring back the names of two people who wore safety suite costumes. That would be, it had to be either Janelle, Nicole, or Ian. Enzo gets his first. Nicole gets her second, but kind of wipes out trying to get up the ramp. Big Fatty will have a comment about this as we go forward. Kevin is the third. David is the fourth, but he takes a $10,000 shirt. And Tyler is the fifth. And Cody does not get a shirt. I believe he might be out at that point. No, he's not out. Oh, Cody does not find a shirt. But because David took a $10,000 prize...
Cody eventually did find it.
Oh, did he?
Okay. He did.
Eventually, yeah.
But he would have been out because he was the last to find it. Last finder out.
If David found one, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So David takes the $10,000 and everybody's eyes, just eyebrows raise so high off of their head that they look like SpongeBob SquarePants.
Now, I'd like to ask, do y'all think that was a good idea for him?
No.
I didn't think it was as horrible at the time as everybody else seemed to. Now, in retrospect, I think all of the players were right that, yes, if you're on the block, you get off the block first and foremost. He should have kept looking. But on the other hand, a bird in your hand versus two in the bush. I mean, stress is on. You've been playing for ages. I don't know. Maybe if I had been in his shoes, I'd have thought, 10 grand in the jury house, that may not be such a bad deal, you know?
Mike?
And I feel like a veto for David's game this week, winning this for David's game this week versus, I don't know, a Tyler, a Cody, a Memphis is different, right? So, like, for him, it might mean one more week. You know, it doesn't mean he's winning $500,000. So he's thinking one more week or 10 grand, and he picked 10 grand. I don't know that it says too much about him. I do feel like he picked it very impulsively. And he thought, like, yeah, I'm going to win something or nothing. So I'm just going to go with it. And I don't know that I would do any different. I do think it was maybe a mistake, though, and got him kicked out sooner than later. But.
Yeah, I think
he was going to be kicked out no matter what.
Right. Yeah. And I think at first I was really like, what the hell? You're so stupid. You know, I was thinking that. But then as I thought about it more, I kind of thought what Mike basically just said. It's like, you know, they're getting down close to the end of the game. He knows he's not going to go much further. And this is his last chance to win something, you know, and get something out of the whole thing, monetarily speaking.
Nice dinner after taxes, really.
Yeah, you right. The other ones, you know, it would be a more stupid thing if, say, I don't know, Tyler did it, or I don't know if it one of the stronger players who, I mean, he wasn't on the block, but I'm just saying, like, when you have someone that knows, even if he had won this one and stayed for another, you know, HOH or something, he was going to be put up again. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, but if it had been someone that was actually had a chance, then, yeah, it would have been stupid. But for him, I think, you know, hey, get $10,000.
He wasn't in an alliance with anybody.
Right.
Really. And that's the problem. I think he was probably aware of that other bigger alliance that he wasn't part of and seeing the handwriting on the wall, you know.
But it really could have been. I mean, we say that, but since I started, I'll say it. We say that, but if he, we've talked about him not being a good game player this whole season. He could have really been thinking, oh, I'm safe anyway, you know, because Cody had told him, you know, Kevin's the target, you know, whatever. Yeah. So he may have not been thinking, oh, I know I'm going to go home soon anyway. He may have been thinking, oh, I'm safe because, you know, Cody told me I'm safe, so I'm going to take the money, you know? And that's stupid. That is a stupid thought process there because that puts more of a target on your back doing that.
Didn't Cody get mad because he took the $10,000?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Moose, you have something to say.
I really think he was just playing the odds. I mean, he only had a one in six chance of winning this particular competition. He was playing two of the best players in the game in physical comps, Cody and Tyler. I can't blame him for taking this 10 grand.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Mike.
I also think we shouldn't overlook the fact that, I hate to jump the gun here, but he was right. Right. Like, Kevin got voted out. He got 10 grand. He was safe. Kevin got voted out. In a normal, if three people didn't immediately get evicted this next episode, then I feel like he might have been OK. I don't know that he was wrong either.
I agree with any previous commenter who said that he probably felt safe because the writing was on the wall that Kevin was the target. And that I think that could be a great motivator for just taking the money.
Now, do you think none of the other players found a $10,000 shirt, and do you think they would have taken it if they had found?
I am certain that if somebody else had a moral dilemma where they were like, should I take this 10 grand? CBS would have done everything to show it to us from 10 different angles and have them talk about it 10 times in the diary room. I feel like it just didn't happen.
They didn't show anybody who else picked up a shirt. Mm-hmm.
I
was just going to say, I don't blame David at all for taking that $10,000 because I think he realized this is my only chance to get some money out of this season of Big Brother. And I got to take it when I can.
Yeah. I think that anyone who found the 10,000 would have taken it other than Kevin. I'm pretty sure that most of the other ones felt safe enough with their position in the house that they would have been like, maybe I'm wrong, but I think there would have been some others who would have taken it.
How much IVF could he buy with 10 grand? Nothing. That's his goal, right? Like he said, he's trying to buy babies.
Right.
Okay. All right. We go on to the next round. Who competed in the Puppet Master? It's Bailey and Kacer are the answers. Kevin is first. Nicole falls. She does get there. She's second, but she falls. Cody is next. Enzo and Tyler is out. So I have a reference to Mulan. What was that about? Somebody said
the cow.
Oh, he got the cow.
I have two side comments on this one that after Kevin got there first, and this, the whole Nicole was the comic relief for this entire competition. You know, they had a lot of editing showing her really struggling with that ramp. And Kevin just reached up and offered his hand to her and helped her and just, you know, really gave her a lot of aid the top end up. And Tyler literally has a cow. Because he sees that he's going to be the last person, and so he plays it for laughs, grabs a big inflatable cow that's like as big as probably Tyler. His whole torso, you know, maybe four feet from nose to tail.
Probably about the size of Enzo anyway.
Well, it's a cuddly cow.
Well,
and
so
he
is
named
Enzo's,
her Mulan.
And Enzo named his Mulan also. I don't know.
Oh, I hope he's not one of those guys that names it.
Oh.
Who isn't?
All right, show of hands, how many who have a penis name their penis?
I'm looking at Mike Lawson.
Mm-mm. Nobody. Okay.
Did you have your hand up? We don't want to know.
I don't.
Me?
Yes, you, Big Fatty.
I call it Big Fatty.
We go we go on to the next round. Who never used a safety suite pass? And the answer being Nicole and Keisha. Nicole is first on this round. Enzo comes second. Kevin and Cody are battling it out for the end. But in the end, Kevin gets... Cody wins. Kevin can't get there.
But we don't find that out till after the commercial break.
Right. Yeah. Big teaser there. Mm-hmm. He's devastated. Kevin says, I can't stand Cody. And rightfully so. The next round, who was evicted in the micro brews? Or whose has been evicted and played in micro brews, I guess? Answer being Devon and Ian. Enzo gets it first. Nicole is the second and makes three attempts to get up the ramp. However, Cody beats her out. Nicole is out. The final.
So, before you go on. Now, Nicole managed to make it up, what, three times before that? And then all of a sudden, magically, it became exponentially harder for her. I don't understand. I think she didn't want to win.
I think she didn't either.
I was going to say the same thing. I don't think she wanted to win at all because she made it look like it was so hard for her to get up there. She didn't.
And it's funny because there was at least one kind of diary room with her where she said she really needed to win and she wanted to win. But there's no way she wanted to win because how did she make it up those other times if all of a sudden this last time I mean, she didn't even look like she was trying. She gave up.
She may have had to give up from fatigue. She did not have the upper body strength of some of the other players.
Well, that's true.
And it's not like she was jumping up before. Like, she struggled
the very first time. She was clearly struggling more than others. And I sympathize with that, too, because, you know, I flunked the Ching Hang in all of the presidential physical fitness tests.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, she also did struggle just to even get the rope to pull herself up.
I can see that, but for some reason, I just feel like these competitions, I know you get tired, but I feel like you should, there's a getting the hang of it part of it as well, where I feel like the more you do it, the more you figure out, like, what's the least slippery part that I can walk up and what's the longest rope? And, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe she was tired, but I just feel like you would get better as you go along, not worse. It's not like they're going for hours or anything.
Tired or not, I feel like she just gave up.
Yeah, I think she did.
I'm not going to say you're wrong. I think height, though, does give you an advantage at this game. And you'll notice even Kevin, who I don't think has a ton of upper body strength, he would kind of just reach and he would get that rope. And then he could kind of like do the struggle. Whereas Nicole was like jumping for the rope and missing. Right.
So she couldn't even get the rope. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the poor girl's never been confronted with such a heavily lubed rope in front of her face before.
She's never had that much lube.
No.
Live and learn.
Enzo, is that why your voice is like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there a hymen in your?
That was a good one, Sam.
The final is who was evicted with 9 votes? Answer being Janelle and Bailey. We should say something about the horribly ridiculous band names that were on these shirts.
Like, they were horrible.
These were just a real stretch. It was just like some sort of word salad on these band name t-shirts.
Okay, we've said it.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder if I didn't
write down any of them. They were that stupid.
I noticed that a lot of the house guests kind of like collected the shirts. You saw a few of them wearing shirts that had their names on it after the fact. And every once in a while you see that where like something from the challenge gets kind of brought in and they kind of use it. I wonder if – I feel like if I was on the show, I maybe would collect like 3 or 4 in my bag and those would be on eBay for charity, of course, for charity.
But
they would be on eBay right away. I was thinking the exact same thing. It's like all these shirts are just like laying around here because people would like look at them and then throw them down. Like, collect all those shirts, take them home and sell them on eBay.
Yeah.
They ended up bringing some of the beach balls in also.
Oh, well, did they?
You know what? At each
– would they let them keep that stuff though?
Yeah, that's
a ton of beach balls seem to fall down every time.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there were thousands.
I liked that. It was like a ballroom for the whole yard.
They were all blown up by mouth, too.
Right. Well, COVID.
They didn't float.
One person could only blow up one, so they had to have a lot of people to blow them up.
Well, actually, I don't know if you guys knew this, but when I was blowing up balloons for Mark's birthday, they sent me a few beach balls, and I blew those up.
Adam is good at blowing.
I helped.
From what I hear.
Yeah.
So you weren't winded then.
So,
well, not blowing them up, just running up and down the stairs.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
The final competition is between Cody and Enzo. Who has 9 votes to evict? It's Janelle and Bailey. Cody wins, gets there first. Enzo is out. Cody gets the veto. Okay.
Now, do you think Enzo... The same deal with Enzo with Nicole. Do you think he didn't want to win?
My feeling is I think Enzo probably would have won it. I don't know. I think he probably did want to win.
I think so too. My notes say Cody knows the answer, but Enzo does not. So I suspect that if Enzo knew the names that he was looking for, he might have done better. Or I don't think Enzo threw it is what I'm getting at.
This is a hard
smart enough to throw it.
Yeah, this is a hard thought to articulate, but I agree with you. But I think that's like intentional. I don't think that he's like necessarily stupid. I feel like he's just kind of like, I'm going to go with it. I'm not going to make anyone mad. And so like, I kind of have to wait until the last possible minute to decide what I think what I think, right? Like, I'm not going to even decide what my opinion is. Yeah.
Well, to me, he kept looking up and looking over to Cody to see if he had found one. But, you know.
Do you think if he had found one, he would have gone before Cody?
I don't know. But, you know, all the shirts were the same color.
Right.
For the right answer. So he may have been looking over at Cody to see what color he picked up. So mm-hmm. that could be.
Well, that's what I was doing as I was watching. I'm like, okay, so the person who's running up there to Otev has got like a dark blue and a light blue shirt. So I'm looking for the other people who are picking up that exact same shirt. Oh, they must have it too. They should go. You know.
Right. All right. That's the end of that. We come back from the commercial. People are talking about David taking the 10,000, saying, oh, he has zero respect for the game or something like that. They're dumbfounded.
Meanwhile, Tyler and Danielle did it, you know, a week ago. Maybe it's different, maybe because they had less to lose, but I don't know. I feel like it's kind of hypocritical to be too mean to David about taking the money when people have been taking the money since the start of this game. I don't know.
Right. Veto. So there's the veto meeting. Cody's does not use the power of veto. And then we have a tease for the triple eviction. Twitter says that house guests, we're going to learn later on, but I saw on Twitter that after this episode prior to me seeing the Thursday episode, that the house guests accidentally saw a logo on the screen. So that's been out on Twitter, but we're going to learn more about that in this next episode, being Thursday, September 28th, episode number 25. It is the triple eviction.
What?
Yes.
And they did see it because Julie was talking and behind her on the screen, it said triple eviction.
See, right. I was thinking though, the whole week before I saw the episode, I was thinking that they saw it prior to the episode. I don't think they saw anything prior to the episode. The first time they saw it and knew for sure was during the episode. But they had suspected. What are you?
Okay, sometimes I watch these videos where, like, I don't know, people fall down and it's funny. But then, like, every once in a while you see a video and someone is like, you start thinking, like, why are they filming this? And why did the person just look directly at the camera? And you're like, oh, this is a setup. And then they fall down and you chuckle, but it's not quite as funny. I feel like Big Brother does it a lot where, like, the house guests maybe know stuff. I feel like Nicole was kind of talking about, like, what happens if it's more than two people. Like, how do they know that we're doing this? I feel like they're getting fed info. When Dr. Will came on the screen and then they went in, you know, to talk, she was saying, like, I need to kind of remember what Dr. Will said. And then, like, 30 minutes later, it's part of the challenge. Like, how the fuck did you know that, Nicole? Like,
well, he said something about three, didn't he?
You have to be steps ahead or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. Three steps ahead, yeah.
But the challenge later was like details about what happened in the Dr. Will teaser video. And she was saying after the Dr. Will teaser video, I need to sort of study so I remember what happened in that video. Because I feel like she knew that was going to be a challenge. And so I sort of feel this triple eviction could have been real juicy and someone could have, their pants could have fallen down and I would have cracked up. But I now realize, like, oh, this was a setup. They knew this was coming, and it just kind of took a lot of the organic sort of like excitement out of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that it was interminably long and boring.
Oh, there's so that long. Too. Yeah.
Well, you can make the recap as short and interesting as you'd like. So
I'll do my best.
Yeah.
It was long and boring. So now let's go through every detail. Right.
Okay. okay. So, maybe we should start with Moose's fashion feature with the dress that Julie was wearing. Moose.
Okay. Wow. Julie's outfit was basically a charcoal gray ninja outfit that was sleeveless, wide brown belt. So she hadn't gone very far in her ninja training. Very wide straight pant legs and black boots. It didn't bother me.
I liked it.
I thought it was nice.
I liked it. Mark made a comment, though. He said her pant legs need to be longer or she needs better shoes. He apparently didn't like her boots. So he's like, they either need to make her pants longer or give her better shoes. I didn't really dislike her shoes, but I did notice, man, she really wants us to know that she's a Christian this season. She was wearing two crosses. I mean, one is not enough. She had two crosses right next to each other
every week.
So she does.
Okay. And it's fine. I'm a Christian, but I mean, like, all of a sudden this season, I feel like it's like, I don't know, next episode, I feel like she's going to like bring a Bible out, you know, and just read a verse directly from it or something. I don't know, but
yeah, it's because of those aphorisms at the end. Maybe. But I liked the upper body cut particularly. I thought that the tunic portion of her outfit was very flattering and nice.
I'm an atheist and I'm offended every time I see those two crosses.
I've never noticed them, so
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Moose. Okay. It is day 55, we see. Kevin and David are on the block. David is, after having gone for the $10,000, now may have a target on his back. Cody chastises David for taking the $10,000. Rookie move, bud. Rookie move. Kevin sucks up to Cody. They talk about the bad conversation that they had prior to the nomination. Kevin is on the apology tour. Cody waffles on as Kevin being the target. And then thinks, should I actually send David home? I guess because he took the 10 grand.
I mean, but they do that every week. I feel like every week we get a waffle. The HOH waffles, you know, they put it in to confuse us. I think it happens every week.
I feel like in the diary room, I wonder if it's even if they need to prompt them or not. But I feel like the HOH has to at least say, you know, it might not be a bad idea. You know, right. Like at least give us that one sentence so we can manipulate it how we need to.
All right. Will, the neighbor, comes on. We mentioned this earlier. He's carrying a white cup with red Big Brother logo on it. He's wearing a bathrobe. He does say the words, think three moves ahead, and that freaks everybody out. David says there could be a triple eviction. Memphis mentions a triple eviction. Cody talks about going after Christmas, and then Tyler, and Enzo mentions Memphis as a possible target. Tyler and David are talking. They're talking about voting out either Kevin, Nicole, and Danny between the two of those two guys. Julie does all these throws into the guest house, and she says, let's keep the triple eviction a secret, as though we all, the viewers, are going to shout at our TVs and say it's a triple eviction. Like, this is weird. It's just weird.
Well, you never know. I mean, there could be fans outside the, you know, outside the
from outside backyard. The Big Brother house.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the first vote. This is the Kevin versus the David vote. We go to the vote. Kevin talks about the deadly policing of black people needs to be addressed. He says, if I can help you in your game, please keep me. David says, I'm the second African-American in jury. Please keep me here as a shield or an ally. In the end, Kevin gets every vote to be evicted, and out he goes.
Although Christmas did respectfully vote him out.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else just voted out Kevin.
That makes it better.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he did not hug anyone on the way out.
Yes.
And he told Julie he doesn't like fake hugs.
Right.
Yes.
Or fake people, maybe.
And Big Brother has a way of sort of like humanizing, or has a way of making me like people that I didn't like to begin with. And I feel like Kevin kind of has come around for me. I don't know that I loved him so much in the beginning. And sort of his exit interview with Julie, kind of like, I see where he was coming from. I understand him as a person. And, you know, I feel like I could, I don't know if I would say be friends with him, but I could have a good conversation. I could enjoy a good conversation with him now that I sort of understand him.
Is that because, like, you remember earlier on in the season, you were thinking that he was not the best representation for the gay community?
I don't know that that was me that said that.
Oh, that was mine.
I know that we did talk about that. And I'm not saying, like, I didn't say that. I'm just saying, like, I don't think I said it because I don't know that I had strong feelings about disliking him. It was just, like, you know, kind of not somebody I liked. And now I'm interested in his journey, and like he seems to be to have some interesting opinions about, you know, obviously like being a biracial person, but also kind of like his place in the gay community and how, you know, he's maybe not seen as masculine and kind of the struggles that sort of come with that. And like those are all very interesting things that.
Yeah. Well, I think that he had a few teaching moments, and I think he was really touched when Julie told him that they had shown those moments. Yeah. That, you know,
he was surprised.
He wasn't doing it to
get them shown.
Attention. He was just talking to whomever he was talking to.
And that made him really happy that they showed those moments. Mm-hmm. When he wasn't expecting them to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was probably my favorite part of his exit interview.
Moose?
Nothing to add, really. I mean, it's, you know, nothing. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So we go to the HOH competition. This is now part of the first eviction. It's all about Will, and these are the true false questions. Now, at the end of last week's episode, where you folks, when I left, were talking about the spoilers and such. You were talking about how are they going to do these three evictions? They're going to do something in the basement. They're going to do what kind of sets are they going to, there's no way they're going to change the set for three evictions and yada, yada, yada. So we now know from the format of these evictions for tonight that they just reuse the same whatever question answer true false things, and they reuse the same walk on a plank balance beam set puzzles, and the puzzles were interesting, but it was just a rehashing of the same.
Maybe I missed it, but was the true false set a different room than the puzzle?
No, it was in a different part of the backyard.
So they just had like, because
there was a big curtain up.
Right. Okay. They separated two halves of the backyard with a curtain, a black curtain. All right. Do you want me to go through these questions or do
no.
you
just,
no.
Okay.
Right. Although I do want to call out how good I am at coming up with questions for the quiz, because one of my quiz questions was one of their quiz questions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
Thank you. That's it.
Okay. So what happens here? Memphis wins the competition when Memphis is the HOH. Yippee. Did you notice that nobody, and by this point, they know that it's a double eviction, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they know there's going to be it's going to be a fast mover. And as we see in previous iterations of this double, air quotes, double eviction, people are immediately going and talking to the HOH. Mm-hmm. And not a single person talked to Memphis at all about what are we going to do. Did anybody notice that?
Yeah, because I think he made it clear that he is in charge and whatever he decides is the way it's going to go and everyone's got to go with him. You know.
Well, I will tell you, and this isn't a spoiler, but on tonight's episode that I saw just the very first couple of minutes of it, one of the previews was that they will, and you'll get to see all of the negotiating before each of the evictions. So we maybe just didn't see it.
It might have been during commercial or something like that, or
yeah.
But they do show you pretty much right away who's running to who to talk to about.
Yeah. Oh yeah, but you know who knows what happened during the commercial break.
True.
Okay, Memphis nominates David and Nicole.
Surprise, surprise.
And then we go to a veto competition. The players are Tyler, Christmas, Danny, Memphis, and the two nominees, David and Nicole. It's the ice in your veins, a balance beam. It's a puzzle. You run across and you have to change a puzzle from fire into ice or ice into fire or something like that. If you fall, you get eliminated. They're vertical puzzle pieces. In the end, should I just rush to the end?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell us who made the first piece and then the second piece.
Okay. Who does win?
Christmas won.
Did she? Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you. So Christmas chooses not to use the veto because it's too turbulent right now. What a bullshit answer that is.
And we do see some negotiation between her and Nicole prior right. to that. And Nicole's like, whatever you decide, I'm never going to come after you. You know, all respect.
Everybody knows I'm your number one.
Exactly.
<Yeah. laughs> That was the most blatant bullshit.
Yeah, but it's all moving so fast that she has to get in there and talk to her and get it done.
No, Nicole wasn't convincing anybody by saying all that stuff.
No.
All right. So where is the vote? Where is the vote?
Well, also, when they came back to do the vote, that's when the house guests noticed the graphic saying, hey, triple eviction. And I really think that was a production issue right there.
Yeah, somebody.
Julie didn't say anything, though.
She had to see it at first.
She had to have heard them talking, though. I mean, I think she has them in her ear.
Right.
But she didn't realize it was behind her head, and she didn't see it.
Can I just say, though, any of these live episodes where things are happening really quick and Julie's trying to talk, Julie's voice cuts out for us all the time. And finally we figured, well, not finally, I wasn't sure what it was, but Mark said, oh, well, surely anytime they cuss, they have to. And I'm like, you know, couldn't they come up? This is 2020. We have the technology. Couldn't we mute the house and not Julie? I mean, I don't know. It just seems like they could figure that out. It's kind of bothers me a little bit. You know, I have a
mixer. We'll take that to standards and practices.
I mean, I have a mixer right here. I could mute you guys and not myself.
How dare you?
If we could do it on Pride 48, why can't we do it on CBS?
Exactly.
Bingo. Why not? Exactly.
All right. So, and the other thing I'd like to say is that production was in Julie's head saying, just keep going. Just keep going. Read your script. Read your script. And do not talk about the biggest faux pas in the history of Big Brother, right?
Well, she's like an executive producer or something, so she's like all of their boss, I think. But yeah.
Well, yeah. But trust me, you in the control room, there's one person in charge, and that's the director, and you do what the director says, or you don't work anymore, right? Okay, so the speeches, Nicole says, I can be a benefit to you to certain people's games. David says, Nicole's already won. Keep me for your game. The vote is two votes go to vote out Nicole, that being Christmas and Tyler. And three votes go to David to go out, being Cody, Enzo, and Danny, which is a little unusual. I thought Enzo might flip on this, save David. And vote out Nicole.
Well, that would have been a big move, and that proves that he's not going to make a big move.
I was going to say the same thing. I think it was because, well, at the time that he had the discussion with David about making a big move, why didn't he do it?
Yeah, he wants someone to make a big move, but you're right, Fat. He doesn't want it to be him. So
he wants big moves made.
Yeah, he's bored. Not his. But he's not going to do it.
He'd have a big move on you, Mike.
Ooh. Finally, David gets evicted. And Memphis says, it only took since week two to get him out.
No, he said, I've been trying to do it, and it took me this long to do it. Like, it was very, like, self-centered. Like, he did something, which...
And Joe didn't have anything to do with it.
He did.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, in his mind, he did.
Well, Memphis. In his mind, we're talking Memphis.
Memphis. Memphis, yeah.
Oh, Memphis. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Just kind of, like, showed more of his personality, which I already knew I didn't like. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
All right. So Julie gives the exit interview to David. Basically, David says, I'm proud. I'm vindicated. It took a triple eviction to get me out. He's asked by Julie, why were you playing? He doesn't really answer.
Yeah.
Well, she gives him three choices and he says all of them. So.
Basically, he thought he was on Survivor, and he's like, when do we get to the island? Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. I really feel bad for the guy. But I don't even think he knew he was supposed to leave the house. Like, what happened in between him leaving and him getting to Julie? There was, like, a minute where he was just kind of, like, stuck in that hallway for 15 minutes.
Didn't she say, come on out, David, come on out?
Yeah.
I think he got emotional.
I think he forgot how to use a door.
Well, it could have been. Okay.
This is totally not relevant to what we're discussing at all, but this
just
came to me.
Oh, well, let's discuss it then.
And maybe this is always a thing, but why do these guys always wear these headbands? Like, and it's usually before competition, but like the bands that they're wearing, like you'll see Tyler one time he had like an American flag band. Is that like a thing that kids these days do? Or is that like, cause I mean, I don't like when I go to the gym, I'm not like wearing a sweatband, you know, I don't know.
What do you wear, Adam? When you go to the gym, what do you wear?
A hat.
He doesn't go to the gym.
There you go.
You're wearing a hat right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Enzo wears it for a, like, I think he's kind of insecure about his hair.
Right. 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 Well,
because he's having a procedure. He's having the plugs put in. Yeah. You can see it when he does this, and you can see the plugs at the very front of his head.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's why he wears it.
Sam, do you have an opinion on this?
Sam
is sitting in her chair and she's going, yeah, I'll just hurry up.
She's in a recliner.
I think
Sam should bring her knitting next time because she can just sit there and knit while we're talking about all this stuff.
Because we talk about stuff she doesn't care about.
Actually, I do have a point I want to make. And I thought, again, Julie doesn't do well with extemporaneous. She said, I have a feeling you didn't come out right away because you were gathering your emotions. And I thought that was just mean-spirited. I didn't care for that. David agreed. He said yes. And then he pivoted and did the proud and vindicated, etc. But maybe it's just me. But as I said, I thought that was mean-spirited. And maybe it was just because she was doing poorly at extemporaneous stuff. But
yeah,
she was saying that because he couldn't remember how to use a door.
Well, yes.
Maybe
she's trying to.
Maybe she should follow her own words and be kind. Don't rewind or whatever it is.
David,
whatever.
David, I'm not really sure.
Somewhere in between the inside and the outside of the Big Brother house. Come on out.
Yeah. But when he said he felt vindicated, what was he vindicated?
Yeah. That's a good question.
I think because he got kicked out and was kind of like first to go. And so this go around,
he's like the seventh or eighth person.
No, his first
last
season.
Year.
No,
last
he's
year.
Vindicated because he's no longer the first to go.
Gotcha. Right?
Like, last year he was.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, but
right. When he sees back the episodes of this year, he'll know how poorly he did.
Oh yes, maybe. He will.
All right, so we go back into the house. Julie clunkily tells everybody it's a triple eviction, and they're all like, "Well, yeah, we got it. We knew that an eviction ago." This HOH competition is It's All About You, and it's regarding statements that occurred earlier in the season. So once again, we go back to the true false whirligig boards there.
And we have the dominatrix Julie again. Reset your, or this time it was more, lock in your answers. Lock in your answers. Your answers are locked. But I'm like, what does it mean to lock in your answer?
Like, I don't think she can see them because, like, she makes it sound like she can't see them. Like, they all had it locked in.
They're all standing there with their answers, and she keeps going, lock in your answers. I'm like, well, what do you want them to do, Julie? Like, is there
something? Did you see Enzo was also looking at the bottom of the box? He's trying to figure out where he has to lock his answer.
Anyway, I always all find that amusing.
Yeah, no. This is a true or false. I guess you just want me to tell you the result.
Yes.
No, could you go through every one no. of the questions?
No, 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 no.
Tyler wins this competition. So Tyler is the HOH. So now we're starting to see some of this negotiating. Danny goes and sucks up to Tyler. Talks about the Nicole thing, and I'm not coming after you. Nicole goes and sucks up to Tyler. I'm not coming after you.
Well, I'm starting to wonder about Tyler, who really is his, and I don't even know if he knows this, but I'm trying to figure out, like, who is his final two, because he made all these final twos with everyone, and there was that episode where he was talking to Danny, like, you know, oh, wouldn't it be a real surprise to everyone if we ended up working together, yada, 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 all this kind of stuff. And I don't know. I can't figure him out. And I don't know that he has enough of a strategy to get to the end. I'm not sure. He's just like making alliances with everyone, but I'm not sure he's thought out. Anyway, sorry.
Well, you think his strategy?
All of the people of color are now out of the house. So it's all white now.
Yeah.
So he has a hard time choosing who he's supposed to pick.
Oh,
Mike?
I think the strategy really was to pick up a lot of pairs and then at the end of the game decide, you know, if I'm in a pair with everybody, then I could sort of just like, well, that pair's gone until you're left with the pair that you're going to sit next to on finale night. And, it, you know, it's a different approach than others take, and we'll see if it pays off.
Mm-hmm. But didn't he have a pair with both of those girls, Danny and?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay. So the Danny and Nicole get nominated.
And I was I'm kind of sorry, Faye. I'm really sorry. I'm kind of surprised that you hadn't said that yet, but I'm kind of surprised that he's not taking a shot at Cody at this point.
Mm-hmm. But there's still women in there. He's got to get rid of the women first.
I feel like he should have taken a shot at Cody is all I'm saying.
Okay. Well, seeing no other comments, there's the veto competition. It's Tyler, Cody, Enzo, the Christmas, and the two nominees, Danny and Nicole. It's the same puzzle piece, except now they have to move each puzzle piece across the balance beams and create a fire veto. It's the opposite side of the same puzzle they did before, or maybe it's the same. I don't know. Whatever. As the competition goes through, Christmas gets knocked out. Nicole gets knocked out. Tyler's doing well. Danny's doing well. And in the end, Tyler wins. For the 16th time, Julie says, you only have moments to strategize. And we go to commercial. We come back for the vote. And I guess that Danny gets 4 votes.
No, no, no. Cody. The veto. This was the veto.
Tyler.
So we have a veto ceremony. Veto.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have that information.
Yeah, Tyler does not use the veto. Use
but, Sam, you're talking, but you're muted.
Tyler won the power of veto, but it wasn't much of a veto meeting because since he was the one who put those two people up, everybody just assumed that he wasn't going to use the veto, and he didn't use the veto.
Right.
Right.
All right. And so then we go to the vote, and Danny gets all of the votes. She is evicted by Cody, Memphis, Christmas, and Enzo. Good riddance, Danny. And she goes out. She has an exit interview. I don't have any notes because I don't care about Danny or anything.
Ditto.
And she hugged everybody except Christmas.
She what?
She hugged everybody except Christmas.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
We did find- well, but there was talk during the interview about she said, I don't like Christmas.
I don't know why. She said, I don't know why. I just don't like her.
See, I don't remember much about that interview, that exit interview. Maybe I wasn't paying attention, but
I do. And in fact, I even was going to say, like, counterpoint, Danielle sort of like became a better person in this interview. She kind of talked about the game. Julie brought up, like, you know, this is your third time. Like, you met your husband in there. You now have a kid from it. Like, Danielle is Big Brother in a way. Like, she has spent a lot of her time and her identity is like wrapped up in the show. There was a post show interview where Danielle talked about, or maybe it was on Twitter, where she posted about how, like, she will never play Big Brother again, and that makes her sad. But, like, I felt like that was very humanizing and made me feel, you know, certain way about her that I didn't feel before. Like, I don't know. It's hard for me to remember that, these are actual human beings, not just kind of like characters on something I'm watching for entertainment. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel for her a little bit.
I never disliked her.
She married Dominic. From the season that she was on.
Oh, from her season, the first season?
I never disliked her this season. I thought that she overplayed a few times. But, I thought she was playing a little too hard. But Christmas has actually done very mean things and said very mean things to people. And, you know, so between the two of them, I think Danny's much more likable this season than Christmas.
I'm loving Christmas.
For sure. And, well.
Because she's the one I picked for to win the whole thing.
Because I have to.
Sam, did you have something you wanted to say?
I also agree that Christmas is a very strong player and she hasn't been nice at all, but I like watching it too.
That's why she's on.
We did find out that the finale night will be October 28th.
Mark your calendars.
It's about 3 weeks, I guess.
It's a Wednesday.
And we've already discussed here that this show will now be discussing the Monday and the Tuesday and the Wednesday and the Thursday episodes going forward. That's all the notes that I have. We survived the triple eviction.
Wait a minute. We've got the closing remark.
What did she say this week?
I don't know.
I didn't write it down.
I was so exhausted by the fucking long episode. Yes. I probably turned it off before.
I was the same way. I was like, oh my God, that went so fast. I've got to get out of this. It just went, you know.
It was a lot.
She probably said, as it says in the Bible, the triple eviction will be ruined by production.
let's quickly talk about our competition. So,
please do.
Basically, from the quizzes that we've had so far, Fatty has 3 points. Archer, Mike, Faye, Sam, and Chris have 1 point apiece from the quiz, and Moose doesn't have anything.
Poor Moose.
Now, there's no way to know for sure, but I will talk about it one by one. So Fatty cannot get a point for succeed or favorite. He cannot get a point for succeed because his person he chose is already gone. But he does have Cody as comp beast, and Cody currently is in the lead with 6 wins. Okay. Christmas is right behind him with 5.
And that's the second question on the 3, right?
Yeah, succeed is, who wins the game, who's the comp beast, and who's the favorite. Archer, all of his are still in the game, and he could pick up a point for Cody as comp beast because Cody is currently in the lead.
When Christmas wins, I'll pick up a point.
The only one that I can quantify at the moment for you is Cody is currently in the lead with 6 wins.
Gotcha.
Okay. Mike has favorite can be someone who's been eliminated, so we're fine there.
In fact, I picked Davon, so I actually think I still am in the running for sure there. Like, I feel good. I feel good about it.
So you have 1 point, but you don't have Cody as your comp beast. So
I have Tyler as my comp beast. Do you know how many he's won so
four.
Far?
Four. Okay. So it's Tyler and Memphis are tied for four. Christmas is five. Cody is six. So we have Faye has lost his whoever he wanted to win the game. I don't have it written down, but they're gone. He does not have Cody as comp beast. Anybody can still get the favorite. So, and he has 1 point so far. Sam, wait,
who did you select to win, Faye?
I haven't got a clue.
It's on the app.
I haven't got a clue. I don't know.
let me look here.
I think he chose David.
Probably.
Why on earth would you ever choose David?
No, I didn't.
He chose Kaser. Okay.
He's been out for a long time.
So
I chose Kaser also.
Sam has all of her folks still in the game. But she has Memphis as her comp beast. And he's not currently in the lead. So and he's behind. I mean, he's like in third position behind Christmas. So we'll see. Chris is, so Fatty currently is in the lead overall. Chris would be second because Chris has 1 point, but also has Cody. Sorry, Chris and Archer are both there with the second most points, theoretically. I mean,
should Cody keeps winning.
If Cody keeps winning. Moose does have Cody as his comp beast, so he has theoretically 1 point right now, but that's it.
Oh,
so there we go. See, this is why I said it's going to be hard to give progress updates because we don't know.
Well, really,
this
it's sure. just hard for you, not us.
Yeah, hard for me.
I was gonna say, and clearly, you need to have a quiz come sometime soon so that we can get some more points.
Maybe.
See, you're just making it harder for him.
Maybe we will. Who knows? We've still got a few weeks, so we'll see. All right, let's do this whole thing. Archer, where can you be reached?
Archer.com, ARCHERR.com.
And Mike, where can you be reached?
I'm on Twitter at Mr. Mike Lawson.
Faye?
I am the Faye Driver at PinkWheelNuts.com.
Any exciting episode to plug?
Oh, I've been talking about cars and suspension and tires and skidding and spinning and track race driving.
Moose, where can you be reached?
Moose P on Twitter.
And last but not least, Sam, where can your dog be reached? No, I'm just kidding. Where can you be reached?
Right here. I should. I'm Sam in the H on Twitter. Maybe I should give him a Twitter account of his own.
All right. Well, Big Fatty can be reached at BigFattyOnline.com. I can be reached at GeekyGay.com. We can be reached at ButFirstPodcast.com. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ+ friendly podcasts at Pride48.com. From outside the Big Brother house, I'm Adam Burns Moonves. Let's listen in on the house guests. Good night, everyone.
With spoilers, I feel like Adam knows them all. He was reading the wiki.
I do.
Yeah, it sounds like he did.
I don't know how anything happened. I just know people. Do we have spoilers?
Yes.
Okay. All I know is names.
Bye, Faye.
Oh, yeah. Bye, Faye.
Bye, Faye. Bye, Faye. See you next week.
Yeah. All right. Mike,
I don't know anything.
Spoilers. Oh, all right.
Mike, you don't know anything?
Archer.
Well, I was going to say that now. Cody, I'm sorry. Head of household is Cody for this week.
And they played the head of household that same evening.
Right after, And then he put up Christmas and Tyler. And
Christmas and Tyler, oh.
Cody won the power of veto, and he kept them the same. So Christmas and Tyler, one of them's going home. And I hope it's Tyler.
It's going to be Tyler.
That's what I'm
thinking. Now, Nicole, this was on the app.
Oh.
Nicole has been really mad at Tyler because he voted for her, you know, against Danny, and And then there's a quote here. It says, you know, he's really a nice guy. Everything I said bad about him, I take back. I don't know him outside of this game at all. He's very nice and caring, and he's humble and kind, and he's a good dude. I was just mad about the triple eviction. ... Said Nicole to no one.
Well, where did that come from? Just
it was.
She could have been in the diary room.
Yes.
No, I mean, was she the one that said that, or was someone saying that?
Somebody probably just typed that because she's probably running around pouting.
Oh, okay.
Still, because
I don't know if they voted noticed, for her. But at times, Nicole will start talking to herself.
Yeah,
she will.
She does.
You know, I'm following Big Brother on the Twitter, and 40 minutes ago, they put up a little graphic of Enzo dancing around. So I wonder if he got something in this episode. He's like dancing around like this.
I don't know.
Huh. Maybe he got a love letter from Mike Lawson. I don't know.
This just goes to show you that Tyler should have put up Cody.
No shit.
Instead of Danny and Nicole.
They're never going to get Cody out now.
Yeah. I mean, Cody's pretty much the winner of the game, I would imagine, at this point.
Those Californians and those Texans are going to come get him.
I will say this, though. Cody has played a very similar game, I feel, to what he and Derek played when they were on together. And he's been the Derek. Because Cody hasn't made a lot of the moves himself, but he's been involved in all of them.
You have to watch who he's going to bring with him to the final. I think that's going to make the...
I can tell you who he's going to bring with him to the final. Enzo.
Well, then he'll win.
Right.
I would guess if it's up
Mike,
to...
Mike, I'm not saying that Enzo's stupid, but he is.
He ain't going to win against Cody.
I would guess if I would say it may play out that it's Cody, Enzo, Nicole.
I think Nicole
the final.
She's going to be next out after Christmas or even before Christmas.
I don't know.
I feel like Nicole having won already makes her a great person to sit next to on finale night. So if I had it in with her, I might try to bring her along. Because like, why would you give this schmuck another half mil? Give it to me, you know?
Yeah, and she hasn't won anything this entire season. And
you're right, she has not done well at all in the competition.
So you know, her social game is good. I mean, I'll say that. I think she she's done something right. I don't know if
she's been
just,
very quiet.
She cries well.
You know.
Yes.
All right. Well, any other comments?
No, I'm going to go watch Monday night's episode.
All right. Well,
no, I'm not. Right. It's too late.
I was going to say, I'm going to go to bed on the East Coast. It's 20 till 12.
Well, that's where I am, too. And Moose. Mm-hmm. Lawson's like, I'm ready for supper. I'm ready for supper. I've already had my cocktail here during the show.
And Adam's like, is that a cocktail? 10:40, I can watch another show.
Was there an olive in that?
Two. It was the dirtiest martini ever.
Oh, Enzo must have stirred it.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye, y'all.
See y'all later.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.